Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Poker Pro Podcast Series. We are here live at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. The Taj Mahal today is hosting a Play the Authors event. It's a No Limit Texas Hold'em event where people from all walks of life get to try out their poker tour, their poker talents against some of the most impressive players in the entire world. Today I have with us an author. Author's name is Bill Burton. He is one of the top players in the country. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the name of his book. He's got two books, 1,000 Best Casino Gambling Secrets, Insider Tips the Casinos Don't Want You to Know. That's a must-have for anyone who is pursuing a career in poker. We also have another book here written by Bill Burton, and it is Get the Edge at Low Limit Texas Hold'em. So, Bill, welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Poker Podcast. We're very happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Annie. It's nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how was your experience today in the Play the Authors Pro Tournament?
Well, it could have been better. I got knocked out right before the first break, and that happens. Pocket eights against pocket aces, and not much you can do against about that.
That's right. You know, a lot of people come here, and I know I'm one of them as well, and I obviously have a lot of respect for the Poker Pro players, but actually people do have a shot against playing you guys, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, on any given day, it's like pro football. On any given day, anybody can beat anybody else.
So. Yeah, which is really gives us, the rest of us, some hope.
Oh, I mean, we had one of the funniest things, and I get some of my best material from, you know, what happens in real life, and at the table I was at, there were two guys that had a vendetta against each other, and they were just going back and forth. The first guy was playing any two cards. He was playing 4-6 offsuit and just hitting.
Crazy.
Hitting. He was bluffing with pocket threes. And the other fellow was just, you know, getting more and more upset because the guy was playing. And, you know, halfway through, one guy beats the other. The guy who was, you know, playing any two cards ended up with a nice chip stack. And when the other guy finally beats him out, he jumps up on his chair and he screams, "Eat shit and die." And he gets a 10-minute penalty.
I can imagine.
But now the two of them are on tilt and they're going after each other. Well, it didn't take long before the guy who was playing any two cards to just blow all his chips away. He had the commanding lead.
You know, that's one of the things, one of the major themes we've been discussing today in our podcast series is when players go on tilt, how disadvantaged they are in future play.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just get to a point, your worst enemy at the table is yourself. And players just beat themselves. And once you go on tilt, you've just lost it. And, it happens more and more frequently. Players just can't control their own emotions.
And I often wonder why that is, because really, wouldn't a person who is taking poker seriously want to be able to manage their emotions when bad hands happen to good people?
Absolutely true. And, you know, well, the fellow that that I was just referring to, I mean, obviously he was playing any two cards. So, first of all, he didn't have the discipline to even handle the cards he was playing. And it takes a lot more discipline to handle your own emotions. So, you know, you put two to two together.
So he was in trouble from the beginning because he was playing any two cards and then going crazy when they didn't work out for him. When actually the percentage chances of those bad cards to start with, right?
Right. And obviously if he knew anything about poker, you know, he would have known not to be playing those cards. So when you're playing bad cards and you get a beat like that, you can't expect
it.
You know, you should know
better.
You
set yourself up for it,
right? You're setting yourself up big time.
Exactly. So, you know, we had an author today tell us that she felt that a folding player was a winning player. A player who folds the most wins the most. What do you think about that?
Pretty much so. I mean, the hands that you're going to play, a winning player is only going to play about 12% of the hands.
Really?
And every time you fold correctly, you've saved yourself money, so you're going to make money in the long run.
I know. It's a little hard to fold sometimes, right?
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's the players that can make that big laydown, too, that, you know, are going to win in the long run. I had a hand the other day, last night when I was playing, I had pocket kings, and, you know, But
oh,
the, you know,
yeah. So you laid those down?
I had to lay them down.
Yeah. Now, why did you do that? Did you suspect?
Well, there was a straight possibility on the board.
Right, of course.
And
yeah.
The player was playing against me. He was playing awful tight. And I came out betting, and he raised me. And I just knew.
And you just knew.
I just knew he had the straight. You know, some players will get married to those pocket, you know, big pocket pairs.
Oh, yes.
Players.
They are very hard to lay down.
They are. But
sounds like you are very good at reading other players.
I try. You know, it's an ongoing education. I've been playing Hold'em since 2000 before the game became even popular. So, I've had a lot of experience doing that. And it's something that I've been concentrating the last couple of years, concentrating even more on because I felt it was a weak part of my game. And now it's getting stronger. It's like anything else in poker. The more you work on it, the better you'll do. And, you know, if you can identify your weaknesses and work on that, that's when you'll get up to the next level.
Identifying the leaks in the game, that's another prevailing commentary that we've heard from a lot of the players today, is that it's the player's weakness that eventually does them in. And the best way around that is to start keeping records of your play so you can see really what your weaknesses are, being honest with yourself.
You have to be honest with yourself. I've kept a log right from the beginning. And, you know, if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody else. And you're not cheating anybody, you know, anybody but yourself, because nobody's going to look at your log. You don't have to let anybody look at your log. But,
yeah, so what will go into your log today?
Well, today, you know, there won't be much that will go into my log, only I didn't get many cards. And, you know, I was starting to get blinded off, and I had to make a stand.
You had to make a stand at
pocket
one
pair
point,
when
right?
I'm down, and I'm less than 10 times the big blind, so I had to make a stand. But other than that, I feel my play today was good for the cards I was getting, but when you don't get any cards at all, you can't do anything with it.
That's very true. You know, I appreciate you sharing some secrets to us. Is there anything else you'd like to share with your listeners that would help them play a better game?
Well, what I want to say is, you know, we touched a little bit on it, is poker is an ongoing education. And when you get to a point where you think you know it all, you're going to become a losing player. Because you have to, I don't care how long you've been playing or how good you think you are, you still have to work on your game. And that's what it's all about if you want to, you know, maintain a winning level and, you know, keep ahead. Because the learning curve with all these books and everything else out, the learning curve has really been shortened an awful lot.
Oh, right. Really,
and somebody coming in and can study the game, you know, can pick it up fairly fast nowadays. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get all your education at the table. And if you don't keep up with it yourself, somebody's going to surpass you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of experience required, too, because sometimes what's in the books is great. It's book learning and book knowledge. But then applying it in an actual game, there are other factors to be aware of, correct?
Absolutely. You know, you can know all the theory in the world, but if you can't apply it.
It's almost like having a sixth sense, like almost being able to take all the theory, all the knowledge, all the statistics, all the odds, all the percentages, and putting them together, but then also having another ingredient, something hard to put your finger on that tells you that this is the right time in order for me to make my move.
You have to be able to put it together, because if it was like blackjack, which just had a basic strategy, you could just play the math of the game, but it's much more than just the math. I mean, the math is very important, but you also have the person element.
That's right. Now, so tell me, Bill, why do you love the game?
I enjoy competition. I've always been a very competitive person, and every time I sit down at the table, I get to compete, and I really love that. But I also love most of the people, you know, the camaraderie at the table and, you know, just getting out there with other people. I've always been a people person.
That's wonderful.
Poker is such a social game that, you know, a lot of times when you're folding all those hands, you know, you got to do something else.
like talk.
You'd be surprised what you pick up just in general conversation, too, with the people at the table.
Tell me about tells. Do you rely on, I know everyone knows about Mike Carroll's Book of Tells. Do you find that they help you?
To a certain extent, but I think more important is being able to, you know, read the players and read the hands, try to get inside their heads and figure out exactly, you know, what they have by looking at betting patterns, what they've played in the past. And this is why you have to be very, you know, when you're not involved in a hand, you know, look at what's going on, because, you know, sometimes a person will make a bet at the end that just doesn't make sense.
Right. And how do you keep track of it all? There's a lot of action at the table. There's a lot of distraction at a live poker table. How do you keep track of what everybody's doing and actually sort of decompartmentalize it in your brain so you can pull it out later?
You know, it's like anything else. It's just a skill that you have to work on. And even if you just, you know, gear it toward when you sit down at the table, if you know, you're just starting, key on one or two players if it's too hard to keep track
of
everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd be surprised, you know, it really doesn't take a long time. After a few years, you know, I can sit down at a table and pretty much after 20 minutes figure out, because I know which guys are playing a lot of hands, which guys aren't, and I always look to see what they're playing. I was sitting at a game last night, and, you know, I knew that the guy next to me was playing any suited from any position just by the cards he was throwing down. Somebody else was playing any ace, you know, and it's just,
I know,
you
right.
can pick up playing these things,
ace.
And they're simple
tendencies.
Little things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, guys yeah. playing any suited, the third suited cards comes on the board, and he comes out betting, you know what, just, you can just throw it away, because...
So I know that one of your books is 1,000 Best Gambling Casino Gambling Secrets by Bill Burton. Tell us something. What are some of the insider tips that casinos don't want you to know?
Well, you know, this is actually a general book. It covers all the casino games.
Great.
And what I teach you in the book is, you know, what are the best games to play, what games can be beaten, what games can't be beaten, and the strategies to help you at least maintain the house edge to the lowest possible.
That's right. And that's, and you know, when you're holding your own and you've got some wins and some losses, that's what really makes the game fun, right?
Absolutely.
It's not always losing. We don't want people always losing.
Right. I mean, if everybody lost every time they went to the casino,
there'd be nobody here today.
There would be nobody here. But the whole thing is, with a little luck, you know, you're going to get your ups and downs. And the other thing I try to stress is the fact that, you know, a little bit of discipline with, if you get ahead a little bit, then play with the profits and, you know, use those. But so many people want to go to the casino and sit down and play a game, you know, a table game or even the slot machines and try to turn 100 into 1,000. It's not going to happen. But if you're happy with that small win, if you get up $25, $50 and you're playing the slot machines, or playing blackjack or something, be happy with that. You buy in for 100, you make 50. You've made 50% return on your investment.
That's right. Yes.
So, you know, be happy and have the discipline to walk away.
That's
and that's it. You know, any of the games, even though the house has the edge,
right.
the player has the edge in the long run, because the player can quit at any time.
Excellent advice.
But they don't do that. And the other thing is, my catchphrase and my signature that I started when I started writing casino columns 10 years ago is, luck comes and goes, but knowledge stays forever.
Uh-huh. Very good.
And that's what it's all about. You have to be knowledgeable. You'd be surprised how many, if you walk out onto a casino floor, how many people are sitting at a table playing a game that they have no idea what the basic strategy is of that game. Yet they're playing for $25 a hand. Well, guess what? They go to a casino, they say, I lose all the time. Yeah, no wonder why. Yeah, you really have, regardless of what game you play, you have to learn, you know, study a little something about it.
You do, and then implement the strategies you've learned, then go back to the drawing board, reassess how
right.
you played those strategies.
Right? And have a realistic expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people don't have a realistic expectation.
And you know what, another theme that we've heard a lot today is, really, you have to know yourself as well.
Absolutely.
One of the most basic components is to know yourself, right?
As Pink the singer said, I'm my own worst enemy, you know, a hazard to myself.
That's
right. What happens with most of the players.
So it's a lot of fun. It's really captured America by storm. It's captured the entire world by storm. The No Limit Texas Hold'em, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the most exciting game there is.
It is. It combines a lot of different skill sets. You know, your mental ability, your creative ability, your people skills, your, you know, sixth sense skills, your excitement level. I mean, there's nothing better than a hand well played and won.
Right.
And there's something a little, you know, something to be said about the disappointment in a bad beat. But one of the most important things is you've got to be able to overcome that bad beat.
You have to. And the other thing is, if you're a good player, you're going to take a lot more bad beats because you're only going to be in there with the best hand.
Right, right.
So you're going to, consequently, you're going to get, percentage-wise, you're going to get more bad beats. But in the long run, you're going to survive as long as you don't, you know, give way to that tilt.
Right. So there's a lot of hope for all the players listening today who want to improve their game. You're saying that if they learn, if they practice, if they go back to the books and continue to implement their strategy and strive to become a better player, that they can actually find themselves winning substantially.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not rocket science, and you just have to keep on learning. You have to have the desire to want to learn and the discipline to be able to implement it.
I have a question for you. What makes a good bluffer?
Do it very rarely.
There you go. Only when you must.
Too many times. Bluffing is very overrated. You know, there's times and places based on your position, based on the type of player you're up against. If you're up against a very, you know, tight player, then you can turn around and bluff a little bit more. But, you know, the problem is with all the televised poker tournaments,
right.
People see all the bluffing going on.
They
do. They think that, 90% of poker is about bluffing. You're playing any two cards. But those are only the most dramatic ones that have been edited
TV. And that's quite a myth. Right. So to think that everybody's bluffing you, or many, many people are bluffing you, would only turn into a disaster for a player.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're getting caught bluffing too much, then you're bluffing too much.
Yeah.
And,
if
you never
you
get caught bluffing, then you're not bluffing enough. You know, so you have to find that fine line. There's a time and place for everything, but poker isn't all about bluffing.
No, it's not. Well, I really appreciate you coming today and sharing your insights with us.
Well, I was happy to be here.
Yes, and our guest today is Bill Burton. He's the author of 1,000 Best Casino Gambling Secrets, Insider Tips the Casinos Don't Want You to Know. We also have Bill's second book here, and the name of the book here is Get the Edge at Low Limit Texas Hold'em. I urge everyone to go out and check out this wonderful author, Bill Burton. I'm sure you'll be very happy with all the skill sets that you've learned as he presents them in the book. So thank you, Bill, and I'm sure we'll be speaking with you again.
Thank you very much, Annie.
My pleasure.